Zoom is actually surprisingly, you'd be shocked, at least in my experience.
Okay.
Then again, this many people, you never know.
And I've got Clinidra in the chat saying hello all. Hello.
And I didn't notice it when I, all right.
It's the first time I've put on like nice clothes in almost a month.
I've always been a sucker for Seal.
Aww.
Are we recording? Or are we?
Yes,
on?
We're recording.
Oh, okay. Well, that's exciting. Let's do it then. I'm Lewis Rosen. I'm your soon-to-be immediate past president, and I would like to call today's SEAL virtual business meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. I know it's been stressful. I know you're all busy. I know you've got things to do, but thank you so much for being here. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but we want to fill you in on everything, especially because we didn't get to see you all in person this year. And I feel awful about that. I sent out an email about 20 minutes ago with the minutes from our last business meeting from AALL in Washington, D.C. Kat Klepfer was kind enough to post those on the website. I don't know who's had a chance to see those minutes, but you can see them at your leisure. Is anybody willing to move to approve the prior business minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right. Well, that was easy. Somebody did mention, Candle Wester did mention that the dates of the forthcoming annual meeting for 2021 were wrong in those minutes, but we'll get that all sorted out today and we'll make sure everybody knows the right dates for Columbia, South Carolina. Moving along now, I'd like to pass this over to Cass Laskowski, our treasurer, to give the treasurer's report.
Okay, I did not mean to shut off my video when I did that. Okay, so basically I've been working, it's been a little bit slow to finish the books this year because of the SEAL meeting. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Wild Apricot and QuickBooks do not communicate in the best way as far as that. I'm not gonna go into the details, but it's made it a little bit more cumbersome. The biggest things I want to note is that this year, the exec board has been doing a really good job of trying to be mindful of our fiscal situation because we were losing money year to year on annual meeting over costs, and then also paying for the annual meeting meetup, which is why last year we didn't have a paid for meeting at AALL. It was in the attempt to bring us back into the black year to year. As far as our operating costs, we operate well within our membership fees. It's just that those membership fees then have to pay for the overflow of these last few conferences. We don't have this current conference anymore, so I can't really work the comparison, unfortunately, but I know that Stephen Parks was working really hard to keep us within budget for that, and it looked like that was possibly going to actually work out for us in that way. So we've been working with annual meeting individuals as well as the rest of the exec board to really try to make sure that we're a little bit more conscious about those. The big change this year was our credit card processor. In July, we took on a FiniPay. We did not do so lightly, but because we did not want to change platforms entirely, Wild Apricot was going to charge us if we kept PayPal. So we went to a FiniPay. A FiniPay is costing us more. I have to run the full numbers. I haven't been able to do that full comparison for two reasons. One, AffiniPay does not break out fees by transaction. It does them in bulk. So the quarter one of this year is different because it includes registration fees. And so that becomes a little bit harder to tease out how many of those fees that were getting charged were because of the registration fees that people were paying. However, it is a small markup month to month. It looks like maybe it'll be charging us overarchingly less than Wild Apricot would be penalizing us for using PayPal, except for the registration fee. But that was Reg Online, and Reg Online was expensive. So, you know, that wouldn't compare. However, the one big problem that I have to work out this year is that PayPal would refund us our processing fees if we refunded a charge. AffiniPay will not. And in fact, charges us an additional 20 cents per refund. Ooh. So this SEAL meeting, even though we canceled it, has cost us in our actual statement for the year. So I have to figure out how to account for that, because normally when we do the financial statement, we split out SEAL's annual annual meeting from the actual operating costs. And because they're bulk transactions now, it's harder to split that out. But I will have to work those numbers, but I will get that final report out to everybody by Monday. I just wanted to be able to say that. So that is one very big downfall of AffiniPay, is that once, because we had to refund all of those fees, that's about $300 or more that we ate. It's not the end of the world, but it is a chunk considering, because we had $13,000 in registrations and then we had to refund that back. So it's a good chunk of registration credit card processing costs that we have to sort of eat, because we can't get those back in any way. And I've talked to AffiniPay and they just don't refund that. And they're not, I think, making any exceptions because of our novel situation. I got a very consoling pat on the back that said, you're in the same situation as a lot of other people. So that was encouraging. But I am working to try to make sure we're getting there. So our workflows, I'm getting those documented. I am working. Louis and Shamika have been amazing in conversations. And one of the decisions we made this year was to streamline the Wild Apricot automation for invoices. And as part of that process, 60 days after these invoices come due, any open invoices will be voided and those memberships will be suspended. Now, I have set up Wild Apricot to send out the invoices earlier. It was set up 1 year to send them out exactly as due, which didn't work out very well. This was before my time. And then the automation was turned off because I'm assuming it caused issues, but it's back on. They will go automatically out earlier. And then 60 days past due, which is July 1st, is the due date. 60 days past that, they will all be suspended. I'm sorry, I'm having people cutting down trees outside. Anyway, 60 days past due, they will be suspended and voided. So if you have any issues with that, I know that we're in a novel situation this year. We may make it 90 degrees. I'll be in talks with Shamika Dalton, and if that change does happen because of this current year, I'll let you guys know. I'm going mute. That's everything I have. I don't want you to have to hear the wind blowing. Sorry.
Thank you, Cass, and thank you for all your hard work. I think treasurer is maybe the most thankless job in any organization. It's a lot of pressure and it's a lot of responsibility, and you've been so amazing. I'm so grateful it's been you in this role. And thank you again for getting everybody's refunds processed as quickly as you did, too. That I know that must have meant a lot to everybody who paid in advance. All right.
I want to interject one thing. We did refund people's entire payments. We did not refund them minus the credit card processing fees. So everyone did get their full. SEAL is taking those on. I think from the exec board discussions, nobody wanted to put that on any of the members. So I just want to say that you got your full registration return.
It was the right thing to do. All right. From there, we will move on to the committee reports, and we'll go alphabetically by committee, starting with the articles and bylaws. Chris?
We had nothing to do, so it was a successful year.
Nice. For community services, Jennifer Mart Rice here? If not, she shared her notes with me to share. Jennifer? Then I will go through it. Jennifer, the Community Service Committee did an amazing job. They picked a fantastic charitable organization in Jackson, Mississippi we were gonna work with called Big House Books. They are a nonprofit volunteer organization, a 501c3, that sends free books by request to prisoners in Mississippi correctional facilities in order to promote literacy and be a vehicle of change for prison reform. Unfortunately, because we had to cancel the annual meeting due to COVID-19, we weren't able to continue our partnership with Big House Books, but they're still willing to, and they would be grateful to accept any donations from our members over the next few months. And I can share contact information, or Jennifer can, because it's a very worthy and noble cause and one that really ties into what we do as librarians. And they could definitely use our help moving forward. So that's a community service. They really went above and beyond. And that's Jennifer Mart Rice, Ann Burnett, Terry Conroy, Sarah Dunaway, Phoebe Hutterson Poydras, Rebecca Maxwell, Kayla Reed, and Olivia Weeks. Thank you all so much for doing that. Now, Education and Publications Committee, is Melissa Strickland here?
I'm here. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. We didn't do much of anything this year, and that's on me. We have a couple of ongoing projects, one to collect learning outcomes and another to collect legal research problems, but they're both at the point, at different points, but at points where they need a considerable amount of organizational work and decision making, and we just haven't gotten to that because it's going to be, particularly with the learning outcomes, it's going to be involved. They're figuring out how to classify them, how to arrange them, that sort of thing. So we just kind of let it hang. The year before, a lot got done. They updated their publication guide, updated the handbook, updated several things. So this year was just kind of a letting things go.
Well, there'll be more to be done in the future, but and you all just kept the fire burning in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Thank you. And I know Rachel Evans, as our handbook editor, wanted to say something.
I just wanted to make the annual call for updates. It was around this time last year that we sent out an email, and since we were doing the meeting virtually, I just decided that I would put the call out there. So here's the call. I'll follow it up with an email, but if you have any updates that you would like made to the handbook to occur this summer, feel free to email me that. And my email is on the SEAL website.
I have a couple ideas already that I've been remiss in putting off. But thank you, Rachel. And if anybody, if you see something, say something. I know that's kind of a cliche, but it counts for our handbook as well. If you've got ideas, definitely submit them. We'll run them up the ladder. And we will listen to everybody. All right, government relations, Wick, you're up.
Hello. So I'm in Melissa's boat as well. So Melissa, you're not alone. But what I will say, like what we're trying to do is like a little bit more forward facing than anything. And that's put together documentation so that we can actually streamline the process of gathering information in terms of like what's happening in our individual states for government policy that relates to the freedom of information, to libraries, et cetera. So I've started to put together documentation that collects together when the legislatures in our individual states are getting together, when they're in session and not. And then also with work that I've been doing on the AAL Government Relations Committee, been able to pull some resources together to say, okay, check these every week. And then we can basically assign states to individuals and say, look through all of these. And then hopefully that will also include a 50 state policy website section so that we can, well, not 50 state, but the states that are relevant to SEAL, so that we can actually just click on those and pull together things so that eventually we'll be able to put together a regular call out to the group to on issues that are affecting our work and our profession and the work that we're actually associated with in on the individual state level.
It's an ambitious plan. Awesome. Thank you. Local arrangements, Stephen Parks, the man who, maybe the hardest working man in Jackson, Mississippi, Stephen, if you want to give us a check-in. I thought Stephen was here. I see you. I think you're on mute.
How about now?
Now, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. This is my first Zoom meeting, so I'm learning. obviously, we have nothing really to report that we, you know, given that we didn't have the meeting. We have not really ever heard back from them before.
We're losing you a bit.
I think, if I could interrupt, you may not be having a meeting, but I know from experience that you and your committee did a lot of work getting ready for what should have been a meeting, and I want to thank you and your committee for all that work. Yeah. And also, I'm sure that Lewis is rightfully disappointed that he's not getting to be president at a meeting. in the flesh.
I'm disappointed we didn't get to have the meeting because it would have been epic. It would have been legendary. It would have been our 80th anniversary of SEAL. It would have been 2020 Visionaries. They had such amazing things planned for us. And I'm sure you all are disappointed. I'm distraught. But we could, I mean, most of our schools wouldn't have let us travel anyway.
Well, yeah.
And we wanted everybody to be safe. But I can't stress enough how much Stephen and his committee did this past year leading up to Jackson. And I almost have a vision in my mind's eye about how it would have been. It would have been great. And hopefully we haven't seen the last of Jackson or of all the preparations he made for it.
Yeah, hopefully. I think we're going to try to get it in 2023 based on discussions with some of the board. So yeah, we'll be back in touch with all of that.
Just so you all know, the hotel that we were dealing with, the Westin, we did submit a letter terminating our agreement with them, and they did not get back to us, but we did everything we could from our end. So they were definitely on notice with plenty of time to spare. But we told them we would love to work with them again in the future, and 2023 is our next open year where we didn't have a meeting site plan. So we really hope we can make it back there and hopefully even with them in the future. And if you all are willing to at least you won't have to reinvent the wheel if you're willing to serve on local arrangements again.
Yeah.
But thank you, seriously.
One quick thing, that Lewis, and this would be more for the treasurer, for Cass. I have received the refund for the payment we made for the bus company.
Awesome.
So I'll be getting that in the mail to her.
Well, that's fabulous. I wasn't even sure. I didn't know if that was going to have to turn into a fight or not. So that's really great news. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Membership, is Carol Collins here?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, swell. How are you?
Doing fine. I don't have anything to report at this time. Our activity took place mostly prior to and during the convention. So the only thing I might say is for the next upcoming chair, membership chair, I have the poster and a few extra postcards that were printed last year. So that's all I have.
That's great. And thank you for mentioning that, because I've noticed from year to year thing, like physical things that we bring to the conferences do tend to get misplaced and occasionally lost. So it's always good to know who has what moving forward. Thank you, Carol. And Carol, also, not everybody realizes this, but the membership committee oversees the nominations for SEAL Life memberships. And they were kind enough to submit two of those nominations they received to the executive board. So coming up a little bit later, we have some announcements about SEAL Life memberships too, that you didn't even know that was happening today, but it is. All right, newsletter and public relations committee. I saw Katie Brown somewhere.
Yes. So newsletter, Becca is actually meeting with her dean right now. So unfortunately she wasn't able to be here. She's gonna try to sneak on the end of the meeting. So I'll be speaking on her behalf as well, because she's the co-newsletter chair, and thankfully we were able to both kind of, between the two of us, wrangle everything that needed to be done. One big change is that this upcoming newsletter, Billy, who has been our editor for some time and has done a phenomenal job, stepped away from the position. So I actually volunteered to try my hat at editing. We'll see how that goes. one thing that I will be doing is I'm going to be shifting. She was actually doing the entire newsletter in Word. So I'm going to be shifting us to Publisher. And so hopefully we've been getting the final submissions this week. So I'll be working on it this weekend. And hopefully we'll have something out to you all next week. I'm going to try to make sure that it looks and feels the same way that it did when it was in Word. But you know, there may be some subtle differences because we'll be moving it to Publisher. The entire committee did a phenomenal job, and I was actually just flipping through all of the pages of the members who are here, and we have several members of the committee. And one thing, too, that I wanted to mention, which I thought was really great, is when people submitted articles this last time, you know, we are in a new normal. We've got COVID going on. So there were some people that I did reach out to and said, hey, would you mind writing something that's a little bit more COVID specific? You know, you might see a little bit more tech tips. than discussions of library collections in this one. So I am excited about that because people were really responsive when I said, hey, this is great. Would you mind doing this as well? And people got back to me right away. So thank you to all of the members of the newsletter committee. I feel like we did some really strong pieces this year and we'll keep it up. And I will still be hanging out as editor. So the other thing too that I wanted to say, which I thought was great, was we did get a couple of guest submissions for this one. So please always remember, and I know that the new chairs will promote it as well, but you can always do a guest article. We would love to have it on the newsletter committee.
Thank you, Katie. And I'm so glad you're willing to stay on as editor. I know the newsletter is going to be in great hands with you and whoever the new committee is made up of. Thank you. Shamika, I just sent you a message about adding somebody. And in the meantime, we've got the nominations committee. I don't know if Rachel Gordon is here, but I know Zenaida is.
This is Rachel. I'm here.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Oh, you got your baby.
Yeah, one of them. Zenaida wrote the report for me, so thanks to her for that. I wanted to thank the committee members, Ishmael Goulon, Marie Ham, Zenaida, Avery Lee, and everybody who helped us. Kat helped us run the election, and Becca and Katie, and everybody who helped with the newsletter special issue, and Lewis and Shamika, and the board members who helped when we were trying to find some extra candidates. So we ran an election for three positions, vice president, president-elect, secretary, and member at large. We sent the call for nominations in November and requested nominations through the end of November, and had one person put in for VP president-elect, three for secretary, and three for member at large. The committee worked on rubrics that were passed down from the previous committee for evaluating the nominations, and then we contacted the candidates to secure the acceptance of the nominations. We had for VP president-elect Sarah Malden and Franklin Runge, secretary Jason Tubinas and Sarah Lewis, and member-at-large Lance Burke and Thomas Walker. The election ran from February 24th to March 6th. There were 132 members who cast ballots, and the results were announced to the membership on March 10th. So congratulations to Sarah, Jason, and Lance on their new positions, and thank you so much to everybody who agreed to run. We really appreciate it, and we had an eventful year because I ended up being out in mid-February with the people who are crying in the background. We had some, everybody had to jump in and do a little bit extra work. So I just really want to thank the committee for everything that they did.
You all did a bang up job, a really amazing job. And you were emailing me back and forth up until I think your very last day before going on leave. You really went above and beyond, Rachel. So thank you for all of your efforts and everyone else. And to everybody who ran and was willing to run, thank you all for doing that as well. Placement committee, Savannah Nolan.
All right. Hello. We had a lot of stuff come up this year. If I can get, is screen sharing possible now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So if this report looks similar, it's the same thing that Austin did last year at the annual meeting. Allison Fentress is going to be our incoming chair. And these are the numbers from this year. But most importantly, I think, these are the numbers this year as compared to last year. More or less, the numbers were higher. And as you can see, we're seeing definite trends in jobs in DC and Virginia and jobs with multiple locations. Most of those are firm jobs, of course. I have made a note at the bottom that I have a feeling, just a hunch, that this massive drop off had something to do with COVID-19. But apart from that, we were more or less above last year's numbers. The other major project that we got done this year was a job archive bank, which is this link here if you're logged into SEAL. And it will take you to this Airtable chart, kind of like an Excel spreadsheet. And the great thing about this particular program, and this goes back to all of the jobs we've posted since April 1st, 2018, I can group these and sort these as I like. So I can see, show me all of the academic jobs. Let's sort out. Let's sort by employer type and then group by state. So right away I can see all of the law firms that have been hiring in DC, or all of the academic schools that have been hiring in DC, et cetera, what type of government jobs are there. So that is now done. Please feel free to play with it. The other benefit of this is that we've been posting, we have the PDFs of the job posting. So you can actually see some of the language that's being used in these postings. I will admit this was a selfish endeavor because I want to eventually mine all of this, but one step at a time. First, we got to build the database. So that's the placement committee. That's all. Thank you.
This was a huge, huge accomplishment. This was a Herculean feat, and I'm so impressed by this table and everything you and the committee have accomplished. Thank you so much, Savannah.
Thank you. And to give credit where credit is due, I'm definitely building off of what Austin already had. He had a spreadsheet in place. Otherwise, I would not have been able to create this from scratch. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up now, Program Committee, Shamika.
Yes. On October 14th, 2019, the committee sent out a call for proposals for the 2020 SEAL annual meeting. The theme for the annual meeting was 2020 Visionaries, as we mentioned earlier. The theme for the Institute was Cultivating Inclusive Library Services and Spaces. The program proposal deadline was November 15th, giving members 30 days to submit proposals. We received 30 proposals total. We accepted 99% of the proposals that were submitted, and we informed the program proposers on December 13th and 14th. We were able to create three tracks this year. So there was a teaching track, a service track, and a diversity track. And we organized the programming so that at least one program from each track was offered at each time slot. So people could choose which track they wanted to be on, or they could jump around and do various things. January 16th, we collaborated with the local arrangements committee to identify a keynote speaker for the Institute. Unfortunately, we had to cancel that due to COVID-19. However, the committee thought that it was important that we offer members some form of programming. And so I will talk more about that in the announcements portion later on. So you'll hear more about that soon.
Thank you. And thanks again, because it was a great slate of programs you all curated. It was really exciting. And I'm very happy to see and to hear that we haven't heard the last about them. And now, last but not least of committees, I don't have it on my list, but is the Professional Development Task Force here? Allison Rosenberg?
I'm here, Lewis. This is Allison Rosenberg.
Hi.
Hi. So our charge was to provide opportunities for professional engagement and development. We built on the work of the previous task force and developed a strategic plan last April, and we worked on two initiatives this year. We began the work of developing an online community in Wild Apricot to create a place for SEAL members to discuss professional development topics. The other initiative was to add a writing workshop with a mentoring component to the SEAL annual meeting to support librarian scholarship. We sent around a survey in August to see whether there was interest in this type of opportunity. The responses indicated that librarians are very interested in this type of support. Allison Drake, my co-chair, and I would like to see this work continue in the coming year. And that's all I have.
Thank you, and I sure hope it will. And now, Scholarship Committee, Laura Scott.
Hi, everybody. So CL usually awards the student scholarship in the fall and the Connell grant, the AALL grant, and the Lucille Elliott scholarship in the spring. So in the fall, the committee received three applications for student scholarships. Two applicants met the guidelines outlined in the handbook, and the committee awarded two scholarships in the amount of $2,750 each to Amber Kane, who's a JD candidate at Elon, and to Nora Ortiz, who's a JD MLIS candidate at UNC. In the spring, applications for the scholarship and grants were due after an extension on March 13th, which of course coincided with the outbreak of COVID-19. The committee did receive several timely applications, most but not all of which sought funds to attend either the CL annual meeting or the AALL annual meeting. Of course, the CL meeting unfortunately had to be canceled. And in light of the cancellation or postponement of many other conferences and in-person professional development activities, and in consultation with Lewis, the committee has paused consideration of its applications for the time being. So for now, we're awaiting a decision from AALL on the status of the 2020 annual meeting. So for right now, we're on hold. So that's pretty much it, except I did want to thank the committee for all of its work this year, and also thank Lewis for his patience with all of my questions as a first-time committee chair. And then also thanks to Cass for her careful stewardship of our association resources.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. And somehow I skipped it, and I don't know how that happened, and I apologize, but the Diversity and Inclusion Committee has been working as hard as anybody else this year, and we need to hear from them as well. And I'm so sorry, Terrica, if you're willing to share.
That's no problem. No, that's no worries whatsoever. Just wanted to give a brief update as to what the committee has been up to for the past year. Just a couple of small things. One, the committee was able to put out a publication on the ACRL's website. It was a continuation of a publication that was put out last year on implicit biases. The topic of this Keeping Up With post was in regards to microaggressions. Both of them are available on the ACRL's website. Also, I have a link that I can forward to everyone, so that way you can check it out if you do get a chance in regards to those things. For the SEAL annual conference, with the theme being in regards to inclusivity and diversity, this is kind of our area. We were able to submit four proposals to the annual conference, and four of them were accepted. As Shamika just read, 99% of them were going, and so those were set up. Although those have been postponed for the time being, I know there's been some interest in presenting during the virtual meeting, going there, so that may also be an option. But I do know that these ideas will be, some of them will still be going forth next year. So at this point, it's kind of a waiting game, just to see, as everybody's been saying, how the 2020 year will be looking out. And then that's just basically it. Just wanted to give an update so far. Thank the committee for everything that they've been doing.
Thank you so much. You all did an amazing job, and I feel absolutely awful that I skipped you earlier.
No worries whatsoever.
Thank you. That's all of our committees. That is all of our committees, right? And now I'd like to move on to our future meeting locations or future local arrangements committees. And in 2021, we're going to be in Columbia, South Carolina. I believe Aaron Glenn was going to show us a video.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I have this ready for us, and let me go ahead and pull this up for everyone. And I will get us started.
Carolina, the real Southern hotspot.
I'm sold. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're, really looking forward to being able to have Seal and Collect. And let me go ahead and... South Carolina freeways. I seem to... Oh, sorry, everyone. The YouTube went to autoplay. All right. But yes, we're looking forward to seeing everyone, and we've been working on preparing some of our website details for SEAL 2021. I have a website the start of a website that I can share with everyone. And let me go ahead and share for everyone again. All right, so we've got a start. Some of the information will be coming together as we have it prepared. This front page, I have a placeholder here, but we're going to be updating that as soon as we have a more formal logo for the convention. I've got a few tabs ready. We have some information on our wonderful meeting site, which will be the Hilton Columbia Center. We're going to have information available here for registrations and the meeting rooms. We'll have information on the opening reception as it becomes available, some local information so that everyone will be able to, and that's where you can find that wonderful video that we just saw, as well as information on some of those activities that were featured. And we've got a page to list many of the ways that you'd be able to get here, no matter which method you'd prefer to make it here. And we'll be updating this page with information as we get it regarding the schedule and the program. And this
website. If I could mention, sorry, the keynote speakers have been selected.
Oh, yes. I can go ahead and show those, and I can show any of these tabs that anyone would like to see. Yes, we've got our wonderful keynote speakers featured here. And are there any other tabs that we'd like to see right now, or anything that anyone would like to have a preview of?
Now, this website is live, right? It's published and anyone can go to it now.
Let's see. Currently, we have, right now, it is published, and anyone that has the link, and I can, if anyone doesn't have the link, I'll be glad to circulate that.
We can add it to the SEAL website, too, if we haven't already done that.
Yes. And I wanted to let everyone know, up at the top, we have our banner up there, University of South Carolina Law Library. However, we can add a custom banner. I wanted to incorporate that once we had the logo for SEAL 2021. So that will be updated as we move forward. And in terms of the integration between this page and Wild Apricot, right now, this current page that you're seeing, this is created as a libguide. The plan moving forward is to have a splash page on Wild Apricot that would lead everyone to this page. We would still plan to have conference registrations processed through Wild Apricot. And also in regards to the wonderful SEAL 2020 page that's already on the website, I'm hoping to eventually archive that web page along with the other previous meetings. There's a lot of wonderful work that was done on that page, and so I definitely am not going in this process of working on the new web page. I definitely won't be getting rid of any of the wonderful work that was done on those pages.
If Aaron is done, if there aren't any questions about the website, I can move on to the hotel contract.
Let's see. Yes, that's what I have at the moment. Unless there's any questions, Eve, please feel free to go ahead.
Okay, I can share my screen and let everyone see the contract that we've entered into with the Hilton. It is the same hotel if anyone was at Seal in Columbia in 2011. 2021 is going to be the 10-year anniversary, if you can believe that. We did also look, Candle and I, toured both the Hilton and the Marriott. So if you were at Cali last year, like this past Cali, it was also in Columbia, and they were at the Marriott. But what we found out on that tour is that the Marriott is going to be under construction during 2021. So that was really the deciding factor that told us we needed to go to the Hilton for those dates. And thank you so, so much to everyone on the executive board who helped us get this contract through. Lindsay at the Hilton was incredible to work with, and she continues to be incredible, very flexible with anything we've asked for. Shamika has been extremely helpful, and Stephen Parks shared the contract that they had in Jackson that gave us sort of a starting point to work from for comparison. So Cass also helped us a great deal as treasurer also.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
How is the force majeure clause worded?
Well, that's exactly where I was going. Great minds, Kenneth. If you would like to look here, we have a block of rooms. It starts on the Thursday evening because the decision was made that there will not be an institute. So there will be an opening reception Thursday evening, and that is also when our room block begins. We did a very low end estimate on how many rooms to get, just in order to be very cautious. If we scroll down here, there is a complimentary room for every 40 rooms. So that's sort of in reserve, and we'll work with the scholarship committee on that as needed. The hotel said that if you look under room assignments, that the hotel has created a reservations group code. That link is already live in the website. Thanks to Lindsay at the Hilton. Thanks to Aaron on the website. Individuals pay for their room. And here's the force majeure clause. I love how simply they've worded it. It's called impossibility. Mm-hmm. When I read it, it says, neither party shall be responsible for failure to perform this agreement if unanticipated circumstances beyond their control, including but not limited to, and there it says, acts of God and government regulation if it makes it illegal or impossible for the hotel to hold the event. So if that happens, may terminate this agreement without liability. We just need to provide written notice to the other party within 10 days. So even though COVID-19 is happening now, we're still hoping that it might be over by the time March 2021 rolls around. If we find out at some point that restrictions are still in place or have gone back into place that would make it impossible, then there would be no liability as long as we inform the hotel within 10 days. If you look here, the schedule of events at the hotel starts on Friday. That's because, as Candle will tell you in a moment, the opening reception will not be at the hotel. So all of the meetings, the breakouts, we've got a little room set aside for the board if it needs to meet and so on. All of that would be at the hotel. So you just go upstairs to your room, downstairs to the conference. The Hilton in Columbia has a restaurant that is part of the hotel, and it is the catering provider for the hotel. So we have to use their caterer. And we signed this before we saw the news that Ruth's Chris Steakhouse is someone we might not have really wanted to work with, just because I don't know if you've seen in the news that they've gotten some money that perhaps should have gone to small businesses. We were not aware of that. It hadn't happened yet when we signed this contract, but
they did just return the money.
Oh, good. They returned the money.
Yesterday. Okay.
Awesome. Well, now I feel better about working with them. We are definitely going to be working with them because we signed the contract with them. But they will be very flexible with us, so it's not like it's going to be steakhouse food. They have a number of catering options, and so we haven't narrowed down exactly what type of food it will be, but there are a lot of options of different types of food. So these sort of punitive dollar amounts are only things that would go into place if we were to hold an in-person conference at a different hotel. We would never do that. So this won't come into play. Any questions about the agreement?
I don't have a question so much about the agreement, but I figure since we have a decent number of people on the call, if people want to just let me quickly get a count and raise your hand to see if people would be open to a survey at the end of the year just to see where people stand on attending and where their schools stand on like funding, I think that would be good just to see if people are okay with that survey idea, maybe schedule towards the end of the year. If you'll
really smart idea.
So if you'll actually raise your hand in the manage participants, raise your hand, I'll count it and then people don't have to worry about.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you.
How does one raise their hand in Zoom?
You press participants and then it'll open up a new window, like the chat window opens up that window and there's a raise hand option. I guess I could have asked everyone to say yes too, but I said raise hand, so that's what happened. Okay. So at the bottom line, it's just a mute, stop video, participants, and then in the participant view, you can raise your hand. Thank you.
I see Caroline Osborne asked a question in the chat. You may want to ask now. I've been told, this is Caroline, I've been told no travel indefinitely. Also, will we need a new instance of COVID to invoke impossibility?
No, that's not what I understand. It would be, so I understand like no travel indefinitely, but like indefinite doesn't mean that we're canceling 2021 right now. And so it would need to be, we would need to show that it is impossible for us to attend in March of 2021. And I think just like the projections that go that far out are not certain yet. We would need to be certain.
Right, but those were two separate comments. So I've already been told by West Virginia, do not count on travel for 2020 for the next academic year. We have a very strict travel ban in effect by the governor, and he is not lifting that anytime soon from what I can tell. And I don't think that I'm going to be the only state that's going to be under that.
Right, so I think we're very aware of that. I just don't know that we can prove right now that it's...
But I'm not connecting the two. I'm asking if we should be planning a conference for 2021 at all. Because what my concern is that we find ourselves back in this exact same position next year, and then it's not as clear as if you can invoke impossibility based on the concept that we entered into this agreement knowing that any number of states had existing travel bans in effect at the time we entered into the contract.
This has been entered into for a while now. So this isn't just recently entered. Unfortunately, COVID happened after we had, as the exec board, gone through a lot of talks And Eve and Shamika and I talked a lot about the numbers too, because we were talking about making sure the numbers were low so that we weren't on the, that's why they seem so low, but they're in projection with what attendance has been. But we signed it before COVID, or we would have probably even put maybe lower projections in. But unfortunately, I think we're bound by that. I don't think we can.
Can I lend some commentary?
I just wanted everyone to see the dates on there. And sure. We absolutely have been in contact with Lindsay. We told her that 2020 had been canceled. We've been telling her about, you know, the process that we're going through. And she's definitely seeing it at the hotel. So it's not a surprise. It's just that we can't give that official notice yet.
So if I may add a little bit of commentary. So part of the issue with all of these kinds of contracts is the difference between impossibility and impracticality. And impossibility is the kind of thing you think of if the hotel were to burn down, it wouldn't be there to hold the conference. But the also inclusionary language of regulation and act of God certainly makes impracticality a likelihood, and then it's going to come down to the interpretation of the contract. In any case, no one's going to be sure about anything regarding April of next year unless there's even a worst cataclysm that may happen, but who knows. But based on current attempting as one best can, it's going to be difficult to really make a good calculation of what's happening a year from now before late this coming fall at the earliest. And there may still be travel bans, or they may not be. But on the other hand, registration doesn't open up until what, mid to late fall, basically, for the conference. Isn't that the usual schedule?
Available now is actually the hotel reservation. So
yeah, well, no one, but that doesn't require any deposits from anybody.
You can do it, right? That's, but if you want to cancel the reservation, it would be no penalty to cancel.
Yeah, there's no deposits required this far in advance by the hotel. So individuals are not going to be on the hook for that.
And neither will seal.
We're not going to be sure about anything till nearly a year from now is what it's going to boil down to.
And if I could jump in as well, I think some of this would also come into play in terms of here in South Carolina, the governor's directives on the number of people that are allowed to meet in one place at one time. It seems like, and again, there's no way that we can quite know where we'll be next year, but it seems like, you know, when they talk about in the news about different phases of reopening in different areas, it seems like it's a kind of a graduated step towards, you know, no more than a few people, no more than 10 people, no more than 50 people. And if we're at a phase where, you know, a meeting can be no more than 50 people or something like that, that might be a regulatory consideration that might come into play.
If there are no other questions about the hotel contract, I'd like to turn the time over to Candle to talk about the reception.
Okay, let me see if I can do this and what it's going to actually share. Yep, okay. Are you seeing?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. So I'm going to just briefly talk about the opening reception. And as Eve alluded to, we will be not holding it at the Hilton, but at our law school. And if you were, again, if you were here for CaliCon, you've seen our law school, and I hope you'll come back and see it again. We really enjoy hosting events there. And so Aaron put this lovely night shot that we have of the front of the school. We're still working on menus and setting times, but we'll get that information up as soon as possible. As far as menu goes, it'll be heavy hors d'oeuvres because given our limited time that you guys are going to be here in Columbia, we also would like you to go out to the restaurants and enjoy those too as well. Again, providing all things, hopefully all things will be working well at that point. But For the entertainment activity portion, we're going to be working with some local artists to do centerpieces on the like the bar top tables, and have those be, our thought now is for like a silent auction for those, that they would then, money would go towards benefiting the service project that the community service committee will select for the conference as well. We do plan on having shuttles running from the hotel to the law school and back. But of course there are Lyfts and taxis and Ubers, and it's not a far walk. It can be a little bit of a challenging walk, but with a few hills-ish. But it is definitely a walkable distance if you are inclined to walk from the hotel to the law school, and go across our state state house grounds, which are quite lovely, particularly in March when the weather is quite mild and lovely here in South Carolina. But as we are working with, the law school has an event planner, so we'll be working with her on the menu and other details like that for the opening reception. Any questions? Not hearing any.
Nope.
I'll move on and say thank you, and we hope to see all y'all in South Carolina next year.
Thank you. Thank you all for all the preparations you've made. It's amazing you've done as much as you have this early in advance, and it's going to save everybody a lot of trouble later on this year. Thank you, Eve, Candle, Aaron, and everyone else who's going to make Columbia happen. For 2022, we've got Joyce Janto to speak about that.
Hi. Yeah. We are not nearly as advanced in our planning as you would expect as the South Carolina people, but we do have a hotel selected. If you were at Richmond in 2004, we were in the Shaco Bottom area. We were at the Omni. But this year, we are moving a little bit more towards Midtown. We will be at the Richmond Marriott, which is right next to the Convention Center. If you want to Google it, you can find it. It's a pretty nice place. And one of the reasons why we selected that, again, it's a more central location. And it is right next door to the University of Richmond has a downtown presence, UR Downtown, that has meeting spaces, a cafe, and we can use that, if we do have an institute, we can use that space for the institute free of charge, which we thought would be a very attractive thing. We wouldn't have to pay for meeting rooms or anything like that. May Kulo, who is the Catalog Systems Librarian, and I are co-chairing the Local Arrangements Committee. And this summer, we are going to get started forming a full local arrangements committee. We'll have a, you know, opening reception. There are several very lovely places in Richmond that we were considering for an opening reception. And we'll be working with Sarah, who will be president at that time, to see what she would like and what her vision would be for the annual meeting. But again, the only thing we do have nailed down definitely are the dates. It's April 7th through 9th, I believe, of April. It's early April because we had to work around not only Easter and Passover, but two very big April events here in the city. The NASCAR race, which fills up the entire city, and also the Richmond Marathon, which shuts down the entire city. So that's why we're going to be going with an earlier April date. And that's about it.
I attended the Subtech conference that Roger and his colleagues hosted a few years ago, and that was at the UR downtown facility, and that was a very nice facility.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you. That is promising and exciting, and we're all looking forward to that. And right now we're counting on doing Jackson again for the first time in 2023. And hopefully Stephen and his committee will be willing to step up and serve again. And again, hopefully won't have to recreate everything then because they've already done so much preparation for that. Any more comments, Stephen, that you would like to add?
No, not at this time.
Well, thank you. Now we've got something kind of fun to introduce, and I realize it's been an hour now, but we're getting close to the end, I promise. The Service to Seal Award, that committee has consisted of Fran Norden, Chris Nieringhaus, and our recipient from last year, Paul Birch. And I believe they have a video they wanted to share. And Shamika, were you ready to cue up that video?
Yes. Hold on 1 second.
This is exciting. I don't know what to expect.
Can you what do you see?
I see Fran Norden.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, here we go.
Hello, I'm Francis Norden. As chair of this year's Service to Seal Award, I am very pleased to be presenting the award to a dear friend and colleague. Since she lives here in Louisiana, I thought that I could drive over to her house and present her with the award. However, we have some travel restrictions here. I didn't want to film myself violating restrictions and then posting it to YouTube. I'm not that dumb. I think that went well.
Yeah, that went really well.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to do some virtual driving. See you over at her house.
Travel by map is the best.
Okay, folks, the prize patrol is here. We're gonna go up to that door and surprise the heck out of her. Now, it was really easy getting over here because she's in New Orleans. Because she used to live in Alaska, and that would have been a real problem. Come on. Come on. This is so exciting, gotta tell you. Have you figured out who it is yet? Well, she was once president of SEAL. She has joined and run more committees than I think we actually have. She's been around doing everything for a long time. I think you all know her. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and let you know that the Prize Patrol is here. We are honored to give the award to Kathy Lemon, okay? This is going to be great. She's going to be so surprised. We're under quarantine, so I couldn't get any helium for the balloons. So it's, I know it's lame, but it's what we got, okay? She's going to be so surprised. This is... She probably doesn't really expect this happening. I should have called beforehand, you know. But at least with the wind, it makes it look like there's helium in the balloons, you know? Oh. There's a note. She's going to be back later. Well, I did get her this gift to show all of our heartfelt appreciation for her hard work volunteering for SEAL. And, well, I could always use this myself, I may just keep it. Tell you what, I'll leave this here. I'll try calling back and see if she got the award. This didn't go as planned. I'm really sorry, folks. But hey, you know, next year, if you keep volunteering, maybe the prize patrol will show up at your house and you'll get something. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, that was fantastic. Thank you so much. And congratulations to Kathy, who I don't think is here at this meeting. So we're going to have to let her know. She doesn't know yet, does she?
I don't know.
Well, this will be a big surprise. That was fun. That was awesome. I appreciate that. Chris, do you know if the committee informed her?
She doesn't know yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, hi, Fran.
Hi.
The video was great. Thank you. That is awesome.
I was hoping she'd watch this and find out.
You might have to drive to Durham to deliver it, because that's where she's moving to if she isn't already here.
I think she's still here.
Oh. Well, that was great. I love the production value and the pajama pants. And thank you to the Service to SEAL committee for everything you did this year. And I guess I'll be joining that committee next year. That'll be fun, along with Paul and with Kathy. So, got some old business to wrap up. And the next thing I'd want to mention is we have SEAL Life Membership Awards, and anybody can nominate any members for the SEAL Life Membership Awards. There's a page on our website, the SEAL website. It is the members link. And if you scroll down on members, you can get to just click on it. And then there is the life membership information. You have to include biographical data on the person you're nominating and significant contributions to SEAL, documents, testimonials, news stories, and other similar supporting evidence. They have to have belonged to SEAL for at least 10 years, have performed significant service to the chapter, have reached the age of 55 years unless retirement was due to ill health, and have retired from full-time active library work. There's the nomination forms. They go to the chair of the membership committee, who then forwards them to the executive board. And I am so pleased to announce we have two winners of SEAL Life memberships for this year. And unfortunately, I don't see either of them in the meeting, so this is going to be a big surprise for them as well. One of them, actually both of them, are previous winners of the Service to SEAL Award. Somebody won it in 2004 and someone else won it in 2008. One of those people is James Heller, the former director of the William and Mary Law Library. He won the Service to SEAL Award in 2004. And the other winner of a life membership is Terry Long, who was nominated. She retired from the Virginia State Law Library in February of 2019, and she won her Service to SEAL Award in 2008. So I'd like to offer a hearty congratulations, even though they're not here, to Jim Heller and Terry Long. And we will be in touch with them to let them know and congratulate them. But thank you to those who nominated them. Thank you to the membership committee and to Carol Collins for bringing them to our attention. And please, in the future, if you can think of anybody else worthy of the SEAL Life membership who meets all the specifications, please do consider nominating them as well. And now I'd like to thank our outgoing executive board members. You've all been so amazing. I'd like to thank Suzanne Coriel, our outgoing member at large, who had to leave for another meeting, but she was here. Suzanne's been amazing to work with for the last 2 years. Always pleasant, always helpful, always on top of things, and she was wonderful. I'd like to thank Kat Klepfer, our secretary, who's just been a delight and a dream and a wonderful secretary. And I know Jason is going to be great, but Kat leaves big shoes to fill. Thank you so much, Kat, for all your work on the website, for taking minutes at meetings, including this one, kind of your swan song, and just for always being so helpful, so friendly, so kind, so patient, considerate, compassionate. I can't say enough good things. Thank you, Kat. And I would like to thank Chris. Oh, Chris, you've been so amazing for the last 3 years as our vice president, or as our president, as our immediate past president. I bothered you so much with all of my concerns. You were our consigliere. You answered so many of my questions. You put my mind at ease over so much. You were this calm, patient, wise, experienced guiding force for SEAL. And I am so grateful to you. And you served on the Articles and Bylaws Committee, the Service to SEAL Committee. You've done so much, and I'm in your debt, and I'm grateful. And I think all of us in SEAL are really in your debt, Chris, too. So thank you very much as well. And for everything you've done, thank you. And to our members who are sticking around, Cass, our amazing treasurer, thank you. Leslie Street, our member at large, thank you so much, too. Shamika, you are taking on more responsibilities. You're going to be, as of a couple minutes from now, you're going to be our new president. And I'm so grateful to you as our vice president, president-elect, as our chair of the program committee. We've had so many phone calls and conferences. You have guided SEAL. You have guided me. You've helped keep me on the straight and narrow. And I know we're going to be in the best hands over the next year with you moving forward. Normally at this business meeting is when we the outgoing president passes the gavel to the new incoming president. Unfortunately, we couldn't do that in person. I really was looking forward to that. But a few weeks ago, I'm happy to say that I did pack up the gavel. I put it in a box and I braved the outside world and I took it to the post office. That's me in a bathrobe over my seersucker, because I always wear seersucker. I'm sure you all must get that. And that's the actual gavel that I have mailed. And let me see how I can stop sharing now. I thought this was good. I thought the picture was maybe going to be funnier than it was. Yeah, all right, enough looking at that. But Shamika did receive the gavel, I believe. I think you're on mute.
I did. I have it right here.
Oh, hooray. Thank you. And congratulations, Madam President. And then I would also like to thank, as the last things I say, our new secretary, Jason, and our new member at large, Lance Burr. Thank you so much. And congratulations. And I know you're going to be great. And to our new vice president, president-elect Sarah Malden, you're going to be amazing as well. I have the utmost faith in you. You're going to chair our program committee, Sarah. I'm happy to say that this is the second time I voted for you. You are going to be so awesome. The executive board moving forward is going to lead SEAL into a new era of greatness. And I'm just happy I'm going to be able to hang around as our immediate past president. And now I've already passed the gavel to Shamika to talk about new business. So I'm going to be quiet now. Thank you all.
Thank you, Lewis.
Lewis, I think thank you is in order for you as well. I've really appreciated working with you over the past year. You've welcomed me to the board with open arms. You've answered all my nagging questions. You've led us through a pretty difficult time, and you've had to make some difficult decisions. And I really appreciate everything. You've left huge shoes for me to fill, but I'm glad that you'll be on the executive board for one more year. On behalf of the SEAL membership and the executive board, I have sent you a card and a little something special. So you could be expecting that soon if the Postal Service is still running.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Thank you for that. That was so unnecessary, but thank you.
Thank you.
I disagree. Extremely necessary.
Yes.
Oh, shucks. You guys.
I know we're running against time. The as far as new business, the only thing that I wanted to alert everyone to is that I am working on the 2020-2021 committee rosters. I'm really appreciative of everyone who volunteered to serve on a committee. I'm appreciative of all of the committee chairs. I've reached out to people and no one has said no. So I just want to say thank you. I'm really appreciative of that. I'm about 95% done. There's a couple more calls that I need to make. If there's anyone here that hasn't volunteered, that wants to volunteer, please reach out to me personally. I can always find a space for you on a committee. And as far as announcements, I mentioned earlier that the program committee thought that it was really important for us to be able to offer something to our members in lieu of the in-person conference. And so what I'm happy to announce is that we have worked out the logistics so that we can host a virtual conference. The virtual conference will start May 18th. And it will end the week of June 1st. And what we've decided to do was we're going to host three programs a week at the noon hour Eastern Standard Time. And I will send an email out on Monday once I get confirmation from all of the proposers with all the Zoom information. There's going to be one Zoom link for all of the programs. I did not want it to be confusing. There's going to be one link and you just sign in and join us. Please come out and support your colleagues, whether you're sitting on your couch or you're at your dining room table. There's no judgment here. We really just want to support them. We have some awesome content and I'm really excited that we were able to work it out so that we can offer the members something. I have to thank the program committee. Without this, without them, this would not be possible. They've helped me with Zoom. They've been Zoom testers. They've helped select excellent programs. So I just want to say thank you to everyone on that served on the program committee. You were really lifesavers for me and are really responsible for selecting such great programs for this year's conference, but also for the virtual conference. I don't have any additional announcements. Does anyone else have additional announcements?
This is Ken. I do.
Okay.
I'd like to take note that Carol Watson will be inducted into the AALL Hall of Fame this year.
Hey. Congratulations, Carol.
Absolutely. I don't see her on my gallery. Oh, there she is. Congratulations, Carol. Well deserving.
Okay, so Carol may have run into the other room to eat some quiche.
Okay. Any other announcements?
I'll also add that one member, Jeremy McCabe, was also recognized in that email today for the publication they did about it's an incredible database that they created, Leah and Jeremy from Georgetown. It's all about, they essentially compiled, I'm trying to find the email, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was the Access to Government Information, and they created a website called the Foreign Intelligence Law Collection. So it's essentially everything they could find about FISA court documents and things like that that were available not on websites that would get government officials in trouble. So he's not here right now, I don't think, but congratulations to Jeremy.
And I don't know if Yvonne Chandler is a member. She's from the Southeast and is one of the recipients of the Gallagher Award. I met Yvonne Chandler for the first time at last year's meeting, and then I know she suffered a stroke long after that, and I have not heard any other news about her condition.
Ken, she is still being taken care of in a hospice facility.
Okay, thank you for that update.
Again, well-deserving for Jeremy and also for Dr. Chandler. Dr. Chandler is a mentor to me, and it was very sad to hear what happened. It was shortly after AALL, and we had received an award for a book that we had co-authored. And I just remember her being so happy, and she was celebrating her 40th anniversary with AALL. So this has hit some of us very, very hard. But she's very deserving, and she has helped so many students who are entering our profession. She's been a pioneer, particularly for minority law librarians. I remember my first conference it was in Seattle. And I was frightened. Here it is, like 1,000 librarians all in one space. This is my first year. I don't know what to do. And I met her, and she said, come on with me. And we ended up going to a Lexus dinner, a fancy dinner. It was like on the 20th floor overlooking the lake. And you would have thought she knew me for 5-10 years, and she had just met me. And I think that is just, it really tells you a lot about her character. And her passion for the profession, and not only being in the profession, but mentoring new librarians as they enter the profession. So she's very deserving of this award. And I hope that one day she understands that she's getting the recognition that she deserves. Any other announcements? All right, well, if there are no other announcements, I will adjourn the meeting, and I will post this to SEAL so that the people who were unable to come will still have access to the business meeting. All right. Thank you guys for joining, and I'll be talking with you soon.
Oh, don't forget.
Thanks, everybody.
Here it is. Here it is.
Yay.
Can you hear it?
Yep.
Okay. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Let's see. How